Welcome to the One the Only Hog Talk podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe in Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I'm Porter Hayes, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall, and we're also brought to you by BetOnline, which continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. And we'll start the show with the rundown. We're going to start a new weekly rundown since we have so much stuff going on in the world of Razorback athletics, with baseball kicking off, men's and women's basketball, golf, softball, gymnastics, and tennis. Baseball wrapped up the week with a 2-1 record against JMU, winning 6-4. And 15-5 before falling today, 7-3. Men's basketball, gutty performance against Mississippi State, falling 71-67 and losing earlier in the week, 92-63 to Tennessee. Women's basketball got a huge win against Missouri, their 12th in a row against Missouri. They are 18-9, 6-6 on the season, but had a tough loss against Tennessee, 81-55 earlier in the week. Men's golf are 8th ranked in the country, finished first in the Del Mar Collegiate Invitational, and the women's are currently in 6th place at the Moon Golf Invitational. They are currently ranked 3rd in the country. Gymnastics started off with the Metroplex Challenge, finishing 3rd with a 196.8. And then the softball team, they're off to an 8-2 start. They went out to Arizona, only losing once, went 4-1 on the weekend against Arizona. They start home play on Thursday in the Razorback Invitational, and we'll talk about that more later in the week. And then the tennis teams, men's tennis split a doubleheader in Seattle, and the women's team bounced back, winning 2 against Tulsa and Missouri State, 4-1 and 4-0. Well, again, we'll start that every week, give a rundown of all the stuff going on, the scores from the week past, and then we're going to end each show with what's coming up so you'll know what's coming up for the week. And Adam sent me the graphic beforehand, and it's going to be a busy week for Razorback Athletics moving forward. So, again, we'll start, of course, with the basketball team. Adam, you know, getting blown out by Tennessee, you come back, bounce back against Mississippi State. You still lose, but in a tough effort. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this before we get into the game. As bad as the seasons went, I was very surprised to see the reaction. Like, they're still like, hey, this team played hard. This team gave everything it had. It just come up short. Mm-hmm. They could have been easily, like, you know, went really hard on them, you know, tough game, you know, there's no heart, but I heard nothing but really good things about the game and the effort from a majority of the fan base.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that if we, you know, see the effort put out, there's not really a whole lot of things, you know, negatively that you could say. Like, you can start nitpicking, but we've seen this team just lie down so often when getting down in a game that we didn't see that Saturday. Yeah. So, you know, it was pleasant to see. I know Jackson Collier posted a stat before the game that Arkansas hadn't won at Mississippi State since 2015, and they're 2-16 since the 01 or 2000-2001 season. And Starkville. So, you know, I saw that initially before the game, and I was just like, oh, no, like, here we go with another 20-point loss.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't. They held on right until the end. Mekhi Mitchell had his career high, 21 points. I think Khalif Battle, before he fouled out, was at 16
total.
Yeah. So, you know, it was one of those things that was, you didn't really get any or much more production outside of them.
Yeah.
When it comes, you know, offensively, I think, who was it? We had a couple at 8, or LLS at 8, Devo at 8. So, I mean, you were looking for somebody else to step up offensively, and it, you know, it just didn't happen. And there was a lot of fouls on both sides of the ball. Ooh, that game.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at the three-point shooting. I mean, 3 for 17. I mean, that's your telltale. When you're looking at a game that close, you're just looking, I mean, 18%, 2-11 in the first half, and 3 of 17 in the second half. 18% and 17% shooting from the three-point line. I mean, that's not going to win you too many games. And, again, when you are playing against a team like Mississippi State, I mean, you go back to Stansberry days. I mean, Arkansas mm-hmm. always had a tough go when they played against him, whether it was home or away. And, you know, you're playing, you know, at Humphrey Coliseum in Starkville. I mean, not every arena's like Bud Walton Arena, you know, and 9,200 there, that's a lot of people to come to the game. And to be honest, it wasn't like Mississippi State shot lights out, you know, mm-hmm. and you've seen the halftime adjustment to where they stuck with it the whole game. It wasn't one of these games where, you know, you're only down 6 at half and then they just run away with it. They only shot 26% from the three-point line in the second half. And their free throw mm-hmm. shooting, you look at Arkansas's three-point percentage, and then you look at Mississippi State's free throw percentage, there's the telltale of what was going on both sides of the floor. I mean, 59% from the free throw line, 19 for 32, and Arkansas mm-hmm. went 73%. But still, yeah, that's still bad in mm-hmm. terms of 73%, but those are games that if you have the heart, if you are in contention for postseason play, you should have won that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then looking at some of the other stats, I saw that, you know, Arkansas only had 3 fast break points, and Mississippi State only had 5. So they were not getting out on fast breaks, or at least they weren't capitalizing on them. Points in the paint, I think, was relatively – Arkansas had 30, Mississippi State had 40. Mm-hmm. 45 total fouls called in the game. I mean, it was, I think at some point in the second half, they put up a stat on TV that was like every player has 2 fouls.
Yeah.
At that point at the game, that's at crazy. Least 2 fouls. I mean, you know, when you see that, it's just, I mean, they were just call. I mean, I get it. You're not supposed to hand check, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you got to give a little bit, but it stayed consistent at least throughout the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those that you can't say it was one-sided or that the refs were, you know, going or giving up and then calling these things harder than these. Now they just called a tight game all around.
And I wonder how much that plays into – it'd be something we can ask Coach Neighbors, you know, next time we have on. How much does that really affect, and especially in the women's game where they're playing in quarters? Your offensive, mm-hmm. you know, getting into a rhythm. You look at mm-hmm. the shooting percentages, and you're like 45% from the field, and they shot 48% from the field. I just wonder how much that correlates shooting when you're worried about, you know, one, playing defense, getting in foul trouble, are you sitting out? But, yeah, it's one of them deals that you love the effort, but, again – 12-13 on the year, 3-9 in conference, and that'd have been a good win because mm-hmm. Mississippi State moves to 17-8, and they move to 500 in conference play. And just looking again at the schedule ahead, you know, there's only a handful of games left. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games left. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't believe this season. I can't believe this year. You know, we're already almost to March, and that's mm-hmm. crazy to even think how fast this year's even went by. But yes, you go to Texas A&M on Tuesday, so you have a quick turnaround, you know, to go to Texas A&M, and then you have 2 home games against Missouri and Vanderbilt. Got to finish the season out strong, and it's mm-hmm. weird how you can talk so much about the football, you really can compare the teams, the two seasons this year, the football and basketball season. It's just playing for pride the rest of the year, pretty much.
You are, you know, going in with Texas A&M on Tuesday, you know, we got the 1-point win at home in January. So, I mean, they're going to be looking to, if you're, you know, some revenge. Mm-hmm. I always feel like that Buzz Williams has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder when anytime he's playing Arkansas or Eric Musselman, whatever, he just always seems like he has a little bit more fire under him. I don't know what it is. I'm not a big fan of his, but by all means.
Never.
Yeah, he can do whatever. But, you know, going from football season, you know, we couldn't wait till basketball season, and then basketball season, we couldn't wait till baseball season. It's just, you hope you have a different outcome season-wise for baseball than the other two.
Yeah, and, we'll, you know, after the commercial break, we'll dive into the baseball, and it's just like, you know, you're so much anticipation. You've got your ace on the mound, and then bam. Mm-hmm. Last one inning. So, of course, you know, the sky's falling in and, you know, everything that's going on with the bat, and then you drop a game. So, you know, that goes into what we were talking about with that PTSD and, of course, the sky's falling in. But, yeah, playing this Texas A&M game, you know, it's going to be one of those where, again, like you said, Buzz Williams, he just, I've never liked him. He almost seems like one of them coaches that thinks he's won a lot more than he really has. And they're coming off a 25-point loss to Alabama. So, or hold on. Yeah. They just come off 100-75. So they're sitting, they're right there at 6-6 in conference play, 15-10 overall, losing two in a row. Again, these final six games, you know, you just got to finish strong, try to salvage what you can. And, I don't know how hard that is. I'm assuming right now it's very hard to, especially with the expectations you had, what is there, other than the seniors, that, hey, this is it for me, or the ones that we think have eligibility left, but they might not come back. We don't know. In this transfer portal world, you don't know. But I also wonder how much that plays into the fact of how much does this really mean to those guys? I mean, because they can go somewhere else and play. You know, I've got one more shot. So are they really taking this as serious now that there's really nothing left to play for? Or are they now, you know, and this is another thing you got to think about. What if now they're trying to audition for another team? You know, hey, look, think season's done here. And instead of just throwing in the towel, hey, man, I want to try to get a spot at another school.
I think there's a handful of them that, for whatever their reasons may be, when they are on the court, obviously I can't really talk to practice, you don't see it, but during the games, you know, there's guys that are still fighting for whatever it is, whether it's, you know, auditioning for their next team or whether it's because they're coming back and – you know, they're going to make the best of it as they can. You know, I don't know where everybody's mind is at. I would think, I mean, like we talked with Jackson the other day, I think there was six or seven guys that have eligibility to return.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's a big question with those on who's going to, who's not, who's going to test the NBA draft water. There's still one that's up on the board, I think in the second round on some draft boards, but I guess, you know, time will tell where everybody's at mentally.
I just, man, and I don't know if this question's been asked. I'm sure it has. I hadn't seen it, but what do you think this team would have been like with Darian Ford on the team?
I think that with they're not being role players like there were in past seasons, this would have been a spot that I think Darian Ford would have had the opportunity to shine. You know, he just got in and kind of end of halves or cleanup duty when he was here, just never panned out for him to get a role or a spot with that team. And with this team and a bunch of unknowns and guys that haven't lived up to whatever expectations, you know, this would have been a chance for somebody to actually step up and be like, I'm the leader or I'm the captain now, whatever, you know, this is my squad. Let's run it. Because we still don't have that. So, and seeing what he's doing over in Arkansas State, I mean, I think he's averaging 14 or 15 mm-hmm. a game. You know, he brought the defensive intensity when he was the little bit he was here or was on the court when he was here. So, I mean, at this point, I mean, there's a handful of guys that you could easily say you would have rather had Darian Ford over them.
Yeah, he is right now. He is averaging 10 points a game and 10-4 and 4.4 rebounds a game. That's the only one that I, I thought that was his shooting percentage was 76%. No. It was his free throw percentage. But him, and then you look down there at Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a couple guys down there at Little Rock that are doing very well. And I know it's not the SEC, but geez, it's like, you know, they could have helped, you know, especially them being guards. I don't know what happened to the Darian Ford situation. I don't know if he just.
Well, I mean, he announced that he was coming back to Fayetteville. Yeah. You know, he had the whole video of him riding in on the horse. And then it was just like kind of went quiet after that. And mm-hmm. then boom, he's transferring. So I don't know if it's just conversations that happened afterwards or what. And granted, you brought in guys that were scorers from their respective teams, but it just has not translated well.
Yeah. And again, it's easy to look at what they're doing at other schools. Mm-hmm. And I know we've kind of said something against the fact, but you just look and wonder. I'm not saying that this team would be better. You know, KK Robinson, he's at 15, almost 16 points a game, almost 6 rebounds and 4 assists. So,
and his has been a long journey from Arkansas to Texas A&M, where he didn't play. I think he averaged like less than half a point to 2 points a game, maybe in like 3 or 4 minutes average. So it didn't pan out for him to Texas A&M. You know, so he went to a smaller school and it's working for him.
Yeah. It's just, again, man, it's mm-hmm. it's rough because, of course, you go to the what ifs, mm-hmm. and that's Arkansas's mantra. I mean, you look at Mikal Mitchell. Hell, he's averaging 8-4. You know, I mean.
Well, and especially, you know, losing basically Brazil for what we have. I mean, that would have been, if Mikal had stayed, you know, that would have been another big that we've been down. Because I think we can, for the most part, I think the general consensus would be like, there's a lot of times that we would take Mikal Mitchell over Jalen Graham in different spots of the game.
Yeah. That's biggest is like, when you look at the overall, when you're talking about a swing and a miss, I mean, it's the fact that you swung and missed on so many people on this roster. It wasn't mm-hmm. just one of your guys that, you know, didn't step up. It's across the board. And I guess that's where your talent comes in, where you thought you had enough depth to where if a guy was off on a certain night,
mm-hmm.
somebody else would step up. And that's just not been the case this year because, again, you know, there's not been that consistent. I mean, you got one guy. Jeez Louise. I'll share this right quick. You look at the team and what they are scoring. Like, I couldn't believe it until I even just seen this right now. One guy averaging double digits.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Mark, 16 points a game. What we talked about that. You need two guys in almost the 20s mm-hmm. to really come through for you. And then you look at this statistic sheet right here, and you've got, I mean, again, you look at Minifield, and there was glimpses of him. You know, he's 6 points a game. You know, Mark, again, is 16, but, you know, L. Ellis, 6 points a game. Battle, 5.8 points a game. Davenport, 5.2 points a game. Devontae Davis, 4.9. I mean, that right there is your season in a nutshell. You can't get anybody to score. And if you look over right next to the – you've only got one guy that scored over 100 points this year. And this is SEC play, of course, but still.
Say what crazy. You want about the roles and the whatever from like last year's team, but it worked. Whether Jordan Walsh coming out and saying that he was handcuffed and whatever else, but it got the team to the spot that they were at.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that if somebody didn't show up on a given night, if Anthony Black didn't, or if whoever else didn't, then there was somebody else stepping up. And then in this team, you thought you were going to have that, having these scorers brought in, but there's been too many nights that, none of them get going. You just have you have one guy in double figures, and then you've got a bunch of 4, 5, 6 points.
Now, when you look at their season, this is their season total stats. You've got one guy at 16-8 and battles at 10.4. So right even here, you got two guys over 200 points. I guess you could say that's kind of unacceptable because, you are playing in the SEC, but it's just that just shows you when you're talking about, okay, this guy, he shows promise, he can score, and we can see the consistency, and then you look at the season stats and you're looking at the scoring. Man, it's crazy to look at that. And
this would be a completely different conversation if on the flip side, defensively, we were holding teams to, lesser stats or whatever. But the fact, getting blown out by 15, 20, 25 points on a consistent basis, it's just an all around, it makes you at a loss for words at what has happened. Because the guys that are on the court, yeah, they get, their heads down. You can tell sometimes it seems like they check out. But it seems like, there's a few of them that they don't want to give up, that they keep on trying something just to see if it'll work. And there's sometimes that it's not working for them, but they don't know how to, stop jacking up the shots because it's not working for anybody else either.
Yeah.
And then they get into these, they have it in their head that, we've got to get X amount of passes per game. And so then we start oversharing the ball. And how many times have we seen that, dribbling down to 7 seconds in the shot clock and then we try to force something? So, Musa's system and what he preaches to the team, whatever, it just hasn't resonated with his team. He's not gotten them bought in.
Well, and you don't have the team that you can sit there and pass the ball 200 times to get the ball. If you only got one guy, and I'm going to go SEC play alone. You only got one guy in double digits. You should be passing the ball 200 times. You need to get that guy the ball and score as many points as you can.
Mm-hmm.
If you're leaning on one guy to get you those 20 points, he should have at least 20 points a game. Mm-hmm. If that takes 4 or 5 more shots a game, that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. And again, it just seems like they've tried everything. They just can't get it going. But, the reason why I'm acting the way I am about this because I'm looking forward into next year. All right, what do you got coming in? Are you going to try to do a complete overhaul of this team and try to bring in 7, 8, 9 more guys from the transfer portal from other teams and try to gel this thing together?
You're going to have to. Let's say there's 7 eligible players to come back. All of them aren't going to come back. That's going to be fact. So you're bringing in 2 more and, Jalen Shelley and Isaiah Elim, high school. And so, okay, you're looking at, I'm going to say you're looking right there at maybe 6 to 8. Cause I'm going to say you're going to lose at least 2 players out of the 7 that could come back. And that's just a guess. I don't know names. I don't know, So I think you're going to have to end up getting 5 to 7 players out of the portal.
And where are those guys at? That's the thing. It's like, and seeing how things played out, It's like you better be an NBA ready guy to come play for Musselman. You better be ready. You better be an NBA because I'm telling you, there's not much heat on him. There's the seat. You know, this is a grace year. Everybody's giving him grace and should be. You know, you can't do what you have done in the past 3-4 years, and then you have a down year, and just say, all right, that he had a bad year. What's it going to lead? But next year is going to be one of those years. If we have another year like this year, and because look, with all his expertise and his staff, I mean, you should be able to develop some of these guys into better players. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those years you just couldn't get it done. That's fine. There's no. I just think with this year, there's no fault. There's no blame. It just did not work out. Not talking
dominoes
about
did, yeah. Dominoes didn't fall right. Exactly. You have too many guys that are worried about themselves, in my opinion, which we can touch on after the break.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the same time, you know, it's one of those things that the season is done. Mm-hmm. So make the best of these last 6 games. And then, you know, if you're going to go.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And after the break, we'll touch on that. That topic, and then move into the weekend that was with baseball. Give a recap quickly of the other sports, especially with softball kicking off their opening weekend and out in Arizona. And then, of course, what we have to look forward to the week ahead in the world of Razorback sports. We'll be back right after the break.
Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarksville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Menards Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today, and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the law offices of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As the oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years, with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Springfield. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our history and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law office of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewery products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
And want to welcome back to the Hog Talk podcast. And before the break, we're talking about, you know, the basketball team and their mindset. And, you know, we seem to have touched on this, you know, the past couple of weeks with things on, off the court. And, you know, I don't know how many people, you know, might be wondering, you know, all right, who's coming, who's going, where's this mindset at? And how much has that had an impact on this team? You know, I know it's rough when people have injuries, those things happen, but then there's just this jail, and is certain things forcing players to come back when they're not ready to. I mean, you just never know. We've dealt with that last year with Nick Smith Jr. and, you know, his absence and questions, and now we're seeing it this year, and I think fans have the right to question that. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about it. Now, don't go on them personally, but I think when you're wanting to win over a fan base and then you see that the team is losing, but yet things are going on outside of the program, it causes some concern of, one, you know, the players, but two, the coaching staff. I mean, because you have to think, well, does this coaching staff have control of the locker room? Do they, or are they just as checked out as the players are? I mean, those are legit questions that you ask when you see inconsistencies with the team and they're playing really hard one game and then the next game they get blown out. It's almost like, man, we're really going to play it for this game and we get blown out by 20, and then, or we play hard and we lose by 4, and then the next game you just come out flat and you get blown out. There's just so many questions surrounding this basketball team.
You know, I don't know all the, I guess, rules and regulations from the team standpoint when it comes to injuries being out and travel and whatnot. You know, I had sent to me, which this was on social media, so this was something that wasn't like it was trying to be hidden. But, you know, I see the picture of Brazil in the tattoo shop in Fort Smith. I got it, or I saw it Friday. So I don't know. It could have been Thursday night. It could have been Friday. Regardless, you know, the team's in Starkville or traveling to Starkville. So I get it if you didn't travel. And when you're on your time, you're on your time. I just looked at it as somebody who's dealing with a potential injuries or the knee soreness or the whatever that, you know, if you're coming back, like maybe be rehabbing or be in the gym. And I know that, you know, that doesn't take up 24 hours a day. I just look at the priorities, you know, comparing to when Nick Smith Jr. was out and there was all the speculation and all the talk. You know, we could actually say, though, he was going out of state to rehab his knee, to work on his knee. There was proof of that out there. And so I just look at the mindset and the mentality, and, you know, goes back to us talking about, like, players are kind of more focused on themselves and not the team. You know, is that really the best thing to be doing, you know, just coming down to Fort Smith and getting a tattoo?
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we're, you know, probably get called old heads for thinking that way, but it's again, you know, if there was a clear cut, okay, this is what's going on, he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, or, hey, this is what he has. Even if you say a lower extremity injury or whatever. But it's just talking about knee soreness, okay? So he's nursing a knee. That, okay, cool. You should still, in that moment, in that time, you should still be with the team, traveling with the team. It's all about, like I said, that the teammate thing, the brotherhood thing. And when you don't have that and you have that going on, it's a bad look, because, again, it just has that vibe of, why did you come back in the first place? You know, you why did you decide to do these things? And look, there's no right or wrong when it comes to it, but because it seems like either way you go with it, it's wrong in the eyes. And I think that's where, you know, you tiptoe around the subject. But again, when players are getting NIL money, they're getting money to play a game, they're getting money for their name, image, and likeness, it just makes it look like, well, I mean, that's the thing. Let's just talk. Did that NIL money pay for that tattoo? Did, you know, or is your head really with the team if you are doing those, you know, getting a tattoo in Fort Smith? Or are you really not coming back, but you're having to say it's knee soreness because you are in an NIL contract? You have to be on that team to get said money. So therefore, I mean, that's the again, look, and the reason why I'm saying this is because The university keeps on putting things out. Donate, 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 donate to Edge. Donate to this NIL stuff. We're going to do all these things. But and so we are. Say we are. I donate $5,000 to the Edge, and it goes to said player. They're supposed to be on this team. They're supposed to be a part of the team, but they're not. Okay, so they're injured. Okay, cool. Battling knee soreness, cool. But then you find out that they're getting a tattoo, or they're doing other things on game day. This isn't the fact that this is off season. Off season, cool. You do whatever you want. You're in the middle of the season. If you're coming back, I think you should be with the team. I mean, because that's where that gray area is. If you're willing to accept to be playing for the University of Arkansas, if you're willing to accept money, and you're wanting to be paid for your name, image, and likeness, I think that should be part of it. And if you're not, then where's the money going to? It's almost on that borderline deceitfulness, because you're saying, and I'm not saying that is, but I'm saying if it happens, and I'm sure there's going to be instances where that is the case. But if you're sitting there saying knee soreness when you know good and well you have no intentions of coming back, that's deceitfulness, because there's NIL stuff tied to that. Mm-hmm. I know that might be what people want to hear, but that is the reality when we look at that.
I was just thinking about this. Like, this is not an issue about tattoos. So let's cross that off the list right now. Porter's got tattoos. I have tattoos. There's, ink therapy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I enjoy it, but I just looking at the time of everything, time and a place. And I mean, to me, it's just like, if you're kind of checked out, if your team is traveling and then this is what you're doing. I mean, and I get it. You're not on team time 24 hours a day. Totally get that. But when the team's on a business trip, I feel like it's still business for you too. Whether you're playing or not.
I think if you're in season, I think, the way I see it is if you're in season, I think the rules apply to in season. Mm-hmm. If you're in the middle of your season, you're playing two nights a week, you're practicing and you're playing two games a week. If you have a bye week. Okay, there's rules for every, there are exceptions for every rule. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's the fact that you're saying one thing, but you're doing another thing. And like you said, it has nothing to do about a tat. It's the fact that you're out elsewhere when you have people wondering if you're coming back.
Mm-hmm. And I think you hit it on the head with that gray area with the NIL. It's a lot or a matter of you can't say that they're not on a team because now you're going to get into contract issues on that side of it. So we're in this whole contract area issue area, whatever that, you're just kind of waiting for, okay, when are the lawsuits going to start? I mean, I know we've already seen the one between, I think, a Florida football player and the business that had him sign, like they got X amount of his NFL money for whenever he went to the league.
Well, and here's the deal, if some of these private schools unionize, it's going to be even worse, because the fact that when it comes to these contracts, you got representation, you got union reps who vouch for you and go for you and stuff, but it's just baffling to me, like I said, that they want us to give, but what and this is what it is. I mean, I called this a couple of years ago. It's going to be like a land rush. It's going to be like the Oklahoma land rush. Everybody's going to be getting all this money, but you give it 5-6 years into this, or 6-7 years into this, and when the people are starting to realize, where's this return of interest? Where am I getting my money back on this? They're going to stop giving so much. Is this person really worth $1 million to come to this school? But then again, he doesn't produce. I mean, they're still going to get money. I just don't think it's going to be as much.
And I think today, and somebody could correct me if I'm wrong, but it was the first time I had seen this SEC commercial today. It was during the baseball game, but it was, you know, it was kind of a play on the whole, like, it just means more stuff, but it brought up the NIL briefly, but it talked about like everything. It's almost like they were trying to tell everybody, like, come play for an SEC. There's more to it than the NIL, almost, is what the feeling I got. Because they bring up the education. They bring up the food and housing, even, in this commercial. They brought up the extended health care in this commercial. I mean, they're, like, selling you on coming to work. Basically, it was like, hey, come work for us. I mean, it was like a almost, you know, what a company would offer you in their benefits. Yeah, they're going to start
doing 401k plans.
Yeah, essentially, that's what, like, I felt like I was sitting there watching. It's like, no, you, I mean, you're the SEC. That's all you have to, like, put out there. Players want to come there. But now that there's this playing field of money, they're basically saying, like, hey, there are other things besides money. Let's show you everything else we have to offer. And I'm kind of like, it's the wrong time to be doing all this, because you're, I mean, the money rush is already on. So
when you're leading the way with the Big Ten of forming these super conferences, mm-hmm. and you're wanting to break away from the NCAA, I can see, hey, come to us. We're about to be our own entity or whatever, you know. But yeah, again, that's a little tone deaf when you're saying, oh, look what we have to offer. We have this and this and this and this. But we know good and well you're full of crap.
Mm-hmm.
If you were really about that, you wouldn't be forming these super conferences and having these schools from thousands of miles away join your conference and keep adding on to it because there's more money involved. I totally don't, and I don't think anybody else buys that. That's the funny thing. Who actually believes that's what they're selling?
And, I mean, I get it, especially on the SEC network, you're going to see SEC commercials. If I could ask for anything, if there's anybody in the University of Arkansas system, please change the commercial.
Yes.
The song, the commercial, I am so sick of it. I mean, it is out of the SEC school ones that I see when we have games, it is probably the worst one out of all of them that I've seen.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either. And look, I've been to games, and, you know, you're getting hyped up for a game. And more so, if they want to play it on the TV commercial, cool. Mm-hmm. All right. But when you're getting hyped up for a game, and you're, say you're there 30 minutes prior, hour prior, and you're getting hyped up, and then when they play that over the Jumbotron, you could just feel it's almost like when you're at the club, and they're playing hip-hop song after hip-hop song after hip-hop song, and then they switch it to country. Mm-hmm. And then half the dance floor leaves to go get a drink or do whatever. That's the vibe that happens when that comes on. It's like, okay, we're hyped up for the game, and then Dream On comes on, and you're just like,
mm-hmm.
and you could feel it. And I'm not the only one, and you're definitely not the only one. I can guarantee you that could be a poll. Hey, should they change their song? And I guarantee you, if everybody was held to their honesty, it'd be an 80-20 split.
Oh, definitely at the Arkansas-Georgia game. I mean, it was a vibe. I got to the game about an hour early and got to the seats, and it was like a real vibe in the building. You know, fans trickling in, loud music, you know, you had the bass going, like all that. And then it would just, like, after the 30-minute mark, around the 30-minute mark, I think is when we got the NIL ad from, you know, the coach's ad. And then, okay, we're back to music. And then we hear the Dream On video, and it's playing on the screen. I'm just like, yeah, 30 minutes into the game, we're supposed to be getting hyped up, and you just sucked the life out of everything with those two things. It was just – it completely kills the mood.
That, and also, you know, like when I was at the SEC Women's Tournament last year, you're seeing everybody, you know, the when you're there, you know, they're hyping every school up over the Jumbotron. And you see Missouri's and South Carolina's and these hype videos. Mm-hmm. And no offense to this guy at all, great country singer, but you have all these hype videos and then John Denver comes on. You know, it's almost like that type of it's not even like a newer country vibe that would get you hyped. It's just like, oh no, I don't know. Yeah. It's just, again, yes, it seems like this has been total bash fest on this episode, but look, man, we got to face the facts. You want us to be honest with you, we have to be honest with you. If you don't like what we say, but this is just honestly what everybody else wants to say, they're not, or they are. It's just not publicly, but it's.
Yeah. Well, it's a conversation to be had that doesn't have to be had in the likes of Twitter comments or Facebook group pages or whatever. It's just an open conversation, and people want to shy away from it, but then hide behind a keyboard. I mean, I'm just, just talk about it out in the open. Just watch how you do it. I mean, we're not throwing any one person under a bus. We're just talking, the facts of what we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like last week when we were talking about the whole, the getting people involved. And if you do this, you can FaceTime your favorite player. I mean, it's one of the things that seems cool. I know where their heart was at. I know where their mind was at. It seemed cool in the beginning, when you're brainstorming these ideas. But if you really think about it, it's like telling my 14-year-old boys, you're getting really hyped up, and then say, hey, guys, we're going to go Chuck E. Cheese. You think it's cool. You think you're doing something really cool for them, but they're out. That's what I felt about it. And it's not trashing it. It's just I feel like they're already behind the times when they're talking about FaceTiming somebody. Like, I think that's a thing in the past. Like, especially when you're in the time of NIL, why not be able to go back there after a game or before a game and take a picture with them or something that you're really interacting with them opposed to some. Look, I don't like talking on the phone. There's a lot of people who don't like talking on the phone. But I think that face-to-face interaction, that one-on-one, it seems a little bit more genuine opposed to, hey, man, we're going to have this conversation. Do you mind jumping on a FaceTime call with this person? But also, but I'll say this, like when the football team, they done like, hey, man, $50, you get to go on the field. Or you get, something like those things were really cool. Like you get to, I mean, I know people were joking about, hey, you pay $250, you can call a play for the Razorbacks or whatever. But they were enticing you with something that actually was cool. Now, I wouldn't do it because we do this show and stuff and it'd be kind of tacky. We do a podcast and then we're paying to go behind the scenes. But for the average fan, the person that wants to go to the rooftop bar, I mean, dude, look, $40, you get to go to the rooftop bar on top. I don't know if that was on addition to your ticket or what, but how cool. You're able to pay $50 and go watch a game from the rooftop bar. That's cool. I'd pay $100 for that. To me, that'd be worth it.
And I think, like, the FaceTime thing, I mean, like you said, it would be a lot more personable if it was, okay, you just donated X amount of dollars, because I don't remember what the thing was. And then, the next game you're at, get to go to the locker room or be there at shoot around or something. I mean, it's one of those things. If you're donating however much money it was, more than likely you've got tickets to the game, or they could even throw you tickets to the game. Because I know that, they sold out the season beforehand, but let's be real, there's plenty of seats there. They could find, whatever form to sit. But, I mean, and especially if it was somebody that had, a kid or a grandkid that they could bring with them, that would just make it that much better, like you and a guest.
You get to be out there with the band or the cheerleaders when they run out of the A. Now, that would be cool. That would be something where, look, sign your waiver, sign all your legal forms that you have to do. But, hey, man, you donate X amount of dollars, we're going to let you be out there as they run out of the A. Or, hey, let's go over the top. If you donate this amount of money, you can run out with the team. Like, I don't know if you can actually do that, but I'm just thinking of things that would actually be, because, look, you know how much running through the A means to, but I don't know, again, if that would water that down because now people are paying to do the thing that really means something to these players. It's just,
I feel like a FaceTime conversation would just be very awkward and forced. I'm sorry. That's exactly what it would be. It'd be forced.
Yeah.
I think like you, like we've been saying, there's better things that could have been done and offered.
Well, and I know, but, I mean, it's not necessarily the force thing, because hell, if they're doing these radio spots or they're doing these things for money, they're doing it for the money. I mean, yeah, it's fun to go talk to these guys, but half the time they probably really don't want to do it. And rightfully so. I mean, they're teenage kids, you know, who wants to say it's a 7 to 8 o'clock in the morning radio spot. Who wants to do that? But if you want to make the money, this is what time you got to go on that radio show. It's just more personal when you're there in person opposed to, hey, let's holler at him. It's almost like, because I know people who's done this, and I'm not going to call any names out. And it's not anybody in the media or anybody. It's just fans. The cameo thing when it first come out, and you are paying Musselman money to say hello to you. But you brag about Musselman saying hello to you, like, oh my God, he took time out of his day. Dude, you paid him $500 to say hello to you. That's along the lines of that. Yeah. And it's I guess in a way, I wouldn't say comical, but it's just tacky. Like, don't brag about you met him and he said hi to you, but you can see the cameo watermark in the bottom left-hand corner mm-hmm. of the screen things. You know, mm-hmm. and it's like us, what we do. Used to, if we could get a Devo Davis on, which we've had him on before, it meant a lot because you went through proper mm-hmm. channels and they wanted to come on your show. Now it's, well, how much did they pay him to come on that show? Did he really want to come on that show? Mm-hmm. And that's, look how much it's affected. You know, look at sponsorships and look at people who could normally go out to businesses and get sponsors, but now instead of doing radio or podcast sponsorships or advertising, we're just giving the money to the kid. You know, it's really affected a lot of things.
You know, it's a weird area. I'm still waiting, you know, with that FaceTime deal. Just say you get somebody that's really just agitated, really, you know, just hates the world, hates the state of everything right now. And they're going to pay X amount of dollars just to like FaceTime somebody to like, tell them troll. What they really think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think of, like, there was a thing a year or two ago that the NFL did, and these donations or whatever, whoever donated the most was going to get to, like, watch the Super Bowl or something with Roger Goodell. And the guy who won it was Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports. He made it a point to win that, because, you know, he's banned from NFL games. And him and, you know, Goodell have their pass. But he won it because he wanted to see if they would let him do it, which they didn't. But, you know, I just see that, you know, on a much smaller scale, like somebody's pissed off. And it's just like, I'm going to get one of these players on the phone. And I'm really just going to, like, mm-hmm. tell them how it is.
And you have to worry about those things, too. You know, that's why they screen calls. That's why that... games are on delay and stuff because of that mm-hmm. aspect of it of, oh, this look at call-in radio, like people come mm-hmm. in and, hey, man, you know, you can't just go in at somebody because you're on live radio and you got to shut it down quick. So, yeah, there's risk for it. But I just know where Arkansas is when it's NIL game and you're already at the bottom and you're trying to work your way to the top. And, look, if you was at the top, and you had your NIL game on point and you're doing said things, it would not even be discussed. It's just, it's the timing and placement of where you're at. You're way behind a lot of schools when it comes to this NIL. And I know they're trying. And I know it's going to take winning to get more money. It's just sometimes you really got to, how many people is this going through before you like say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And but again, this is all new to a lot of people, and this is people trying a new fresh start. New people are coming in. They mean well. It just, I think there's other things that you can try to do to get it going opposed to that. And with that being said, it ties into everything we talked about when players are doing these things, because if we are paying this, we want it to be worth our while. And if this money is going to these players and they're not showing up for work, that's going to make some people mad. That's going to make some people think twice about, hey, will I give I give these people these money or this spot or doing these weekend radio shows or, hey, this appearance here, but they're not playing, it's going to turn into some issues.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a sensitive subject that we're just in the beginnings of.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, who knows what this is going to look like in a year from now, 2 years from now.
Yeah, and especially with new teams coming in, you don't know what's going to happen with the SEC. You don't know what's going to happen with the NCAA. There's so many unknowns that you look at the streaming app that's coming or the streaming thing that's coming out that has going to have everything on ESPN, Time Warner together. We see somebody putting an app that you just have that, and then is that revenue shared with all the college football? We don't know what's going to happen. But we'll wrap things up on a lighter note, and we're going to give you a rundown of everything that's going on this week in athletics at Arkansas. Again, Arkansas will play their final game of the four-game set with JMU to hopefully not split with JMU. That would be a rough start to the season. Again, we talked about we didn't even get to the series. I mean, that's – we went on a big tangent rabbit hole on there, and we apologize for that one. But we'll cover more of the baseball series later this week, probably Tuesday or Thursday. We'll get back on that, give a quick rundown of the baseball series. Hopefully we're talking about a series win, because I know a lot of people gasp when they hit that home run to take the lead. And so much promise on your All-American pitcher, and he's going to have those days. But – softball will finally be home, Razorback Invitational. I mean, the long-awaited Bogle Bombers will be back for the Razorback Invitational. I think they have Illinois State and a few other teams in that coming on. And then, let me see.
Soccer, Thursday.
Soccer has their first of two times you will get to see them this spring. They'll play John Brown. Free to the public on Thursday. Softball plays Illinois State. And then you start off Monday. Women's golf still in the Moon Golf Invitational. Gymnastics is still in their quad meet with down at the Fort Worth. Men's basketball plays Tuesday against Texas A&M. Tennis plays on Wednesday. Men's taking on Oral Roberts and Tulsa. And then, of course, end it with women's basketball taking on Texas A&M at Texas A&M on Thursday. And then going into Friday, you have softball playing in the Razorback Invitational against UT Arlington and Wichita State. That's going to be a really, really good game. Wichita State's always loaded coming into Fayetteville. Baseball will take on Oregon State. What is the name of that?
It's just the college baseball series.
Yeah, that's what. Okay.
Yeah. Be at Minute Maid Park or whatever in Arlington.
So.
Just so everybody knows, get it out of the way now. It's Flow on Sports. Flow Sports once again.
Yeah. Oh, I can make a joke about that, but I'd rather not. But then Saturday, men's basketball takes on Missouri. Softball takes on Illinois State and Wichita State again. Baseball will be playing Oklahoma State. You can see that on the lovely Flow Sports channel. And then Sunday, softball will be wrapping up. Baseball will be wrapping up their invitationals. And then women's basketball will be playing against Vanderbilt at home on Sunday. So, again, a lot of things that are going on. We'll be going back to our two shows a week to really be able to break down, you know, the other sports that are going on. And, of course, bring you the best coverage that we can. Try to cover all the sports that we can going on this week. Try to get coaches on. I think we're going to try to have Coach Stifel on this week. I'm going to get that confirmed. But for Adam Hall and Porter Hayes, brought to you by Bet Online, Sterling Soap Company, Arkansas Brewing Company, we will catch you later this week.